This is the Bigger Pockets Podcast, show 137.
We wanted to build an empire with the core competency of helping customers and identifying opportunity in the market. So that's really what we've strived for from the beginning.
You're listening to Bigger Pockets Radio, simplifying real estate for investors large and small. If you're here looking to learn about real estate investing without all the hype, you're in the right place. Stay tuned and be sure to join the millions of others who have benefited from BiggerPockets.com, your home for real estate investing online.
What's going on, everybody? This is Josh Dorkin, host of the Bigger Pockets Podcast, here with my co-host, Mr. Brandon Turner. What's up, Brandon?
Hey, not a whole lot. What's up with you?
Oh, man. It's been a fun week.
I hear you've got some drama.
You know, dealing with insurance is never fun. Let's just put it that way. I've got some headaches. I bought a new house with a few problems. Let's just put it that way. You know, things that probably should have been disclosed that weren't. Some kinds of leaks and things like that are damaging new wood floors. You know, it's stuff that, you know, makes you want to smile about humanity and really feel good about how people, you know, treat other people. So I love that.
Let me ask you a piece of advice, because you just bought a house and I'm in the process of buying a new house for my wife and I. So here's my question. I'm buying it from a guy that I know and I know very, very well. I got a church together for years. I've hung out with him. He actually built all the trim in my current house because he's like a trim carpenter guy. Anyway, very good friend of mine. I'm buying his house. The inspection report came back yesterday. And there's, like, overall, it's a newer house. It's a beautiful, awesome, huge house, and I love it. But there's some things that are wrong with it. A lot of the window trim has, like outside window trim has got, like, rot in it and stuff like that.
This is the guy who's done trim on your other properties.
Well, he did the inside trim. He cuts molding, so, like, he has a big machine. So, the outside of his current house, which he actually didn't, you know, it was a built house that they bought. Do I bug him? They're already not making money on the house. I'm buying it for what they owe on it.
Yeah.
Do I make a big deal out of that? I mean, there's several thousand dollars worth of damage that I need to get fixed. Do I make a big deal or do I let it go?
Business is business and friendship is friendship. You're paying probably retail for the property. You should ask him to get it fixed. You should definitely negotiate to get it done.
Okay. I think I probably
will. Now, you may not be able to talk to him at church afterwards. Keep that in mind.
That's the fear. I don't want to I'm leaving. I'll be mad if you don't do it or I'll back out. But I kind of do. We'll see.
I mean, it's not an insignificant amount of money.
Yeah. I mean, this is damage that I will have to fix myself if not.
So this is a business transaction. So you need to treat it as a business transaction. That's why you don't do business with friends.
That's why
you don't buy houses from friends. No, I mean, seriously, if the friendship's important to you, suck it up and eat up the thousands of dollars that you're going to eat up. If you're making a business transaction, then make the same business transaction that you would make if you were not friends with this guy.
Yeah. You know what a good solution might be is to trade him. He supplies the wood. I'll put it on, because he does that for a living anyway. So who knows? Yeah. Anyway, throw that out there. If other people have suggestions, they can put them in the show notes. Leave a comment in the show notes. BiggerPockets.com/show137. Let me know what you'd do. And with that, let's get to the show. Actually, let's do today's quick tip.
Quick tip.
All right, today's quick tip is, because we mentioned it in the show, we already recorded this about an hour ago, so we mentioned during the show with our guest the idea of the webinar replays. We actually do webinars every week on Bigger Pockets and teach stuff about real estate, and we put all the replays up for pro members to watch. So if you are a pro member, make sure you check those out, biggerpockets.com/pro replay. And if you're not a pro, still go there and check it out and see what's there, because there's like 30 hours now of video, so check it out.
If you're not a pro, go to biggerpockets.com/pro to learn more about the benefits of going pro.
There you go.
All right, cool.
Passive income without the property headache? It's possible. There's a way to invest passively in real estate and get monthly income without any tenants, maintenance, or property management. The Wealthy have been doing this for years, and if you're an accredited or high net worth investor, you too can collect cash flow without the headaches that come from owning rentals. How? By investing in a private real estate fund with PPR Capital Management. PPR's co-founder, Dave Van Horn, wrote the book on real estate note investing for BP. But he's not just investing in notes. Dave and his team also have an extensive background in commercial real estate. And with PPR Capital Management, they're strategically investing in both notes and commercial real estate nationwide. With over $500 million in assets under management, PPR has provided individuals with a steady source of truly passive income since 2007 without ever missing a payment. Check them out at investwithppr.com. Again, if you're looking to get monthly passive income from an experienced team with a strong track record, go to investwithppr.com today. You're ready to open a business bank account for your new property. You know what that means? Coordinating a time between you, your co-founders, and your bank consultant, waiting at the branch, or waiting for hours on the support line. Who has time for that? With Relay, you can open a business bank account for your property 100% online from anywhere. Create up to 20 accounts to organize money by property or by categories like expenses, taxes, or investments. Effortlessly collaborate with role-specific access. That means giving your cleaner a debit card for cleaning supplies or your accountant read-only access to your transactions. Own multiple businesses? Relay lets you open unlimited accounts and access them all from one centralized login. Okay, I'm going off script here. That is cool. It's annoying that I have to log into 10 business accounts with my current bank. So go sign up for RelayFi because that's a feature that I like. No monthly fees or minimums, and it takes just 10 minutes to sign up. Head on over to RelayFi.com/BiggerPockets for stress-free banking. You can join me because I'm heading on over there right now. I'm heading on over to RelayFi.com/BiggerPockets. Relay is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services provided by Thread Bank, member FDIC. The Relay Visa debit card is issued by Thread Bank pursuant to a license from Visa USA, Inc. and may be used everywhere Visa debit cards are accepted.
Remember when you had to pay to get a lead's phone number? It was like the dark ages. Until Deal Machine made skip tracing a thing of the past. Now, with your Deal Machine plan, you'll get unlimited access to phone numbers and contact information for no extra cost. That's right, get high quality, reliable information trusted by leading financial institutions, all fully compliant with the federal Do Not Call list. Explore over 150 data points, including age, gender, marital status, occupation, and a ton more. Trust me, this is the data you need for off-market deals. With new filters, people flags, and color-coded phone numbers, lead management just got a ton easier. Ready to step up your investing game? Sign up for a Deal Machine plan today and gain immediate access to this unlimited treasure trove of contact information and phone numbers. Just head to dealmachine.com/BP. Transform your lead generation and deal-making strategies with Deal Machine. Sign up today and start exploring the unlimited possibilities at dealmachine.com/BP.
So, today's show, Sam Craven. We had this guy in before, didn't we? Show 33 of the Bigger Pockets podcast. Sam's been busy. Sam's been real busy. And that first show, I mean, that was one of our more popular shows, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. Number 33. It was great.
Yeah. Yeah. So he was just talking about how he had pretty much gone from nothing and built up this business pretty quickly. Well, he's continued to do so. We talk with him about how he has raised all this money in private bank financing, how he has scaled his business, really dig deep into the scaling of a business, which I think is really interesting. They've done $15 million in business in the past 2.5 years. We talk about some struggles and all sorts of other stuff. So definitely tune in. It's fascinating and it's really cool to see an investor who's kind of come out of nowhere really in the past few years and built this really great scalable business that other people can probably emulate. And obviously I'm not saying go and compete against them, but you know,
it shows you what can be done. You know, he started with a full-time job working just like everybody else. And he bought a bunch of houses and kept improving and improving. And today he's doing this full-time, 5 people on the staff, and it's awesome. So
that's great. Let's bring him on. Let's do this. All right. He's back, ladies and gentlemen. It's Sam Craven. What's going on, Sam?
Hey guys, not much. Just coming to you live today from Ridgeway, Colorado Library.
Nice. Why are you in Ridgeway? You're not from Ridgeway. You don't even invest in Ridgeway, right?
I don't invest in Ridgeway yet.
Yeah. I'll say that. Is that why you're there?
No, we're here. My wife and I started a cross-country road trip last week on Friday.
Did you?
Are
you copying? You're copying me?
Straight up copying you, Brandon. Okay. I saw what you're doing. I said, you know what? That's one smart dude. I'm going to go do exactly what he's doing.
Nice. So where is Ridgeway? I've never heard of this place.
You know where Montrose is?
No.
You know where Grand Junction is?
Yep.
Okay. It's a little south of Grand Junction.
Got it. In the middle of nowhere.
A little hour south of Grand Junction.
Middle of nowhere. Right on.
Yeah. Right where we like to be, frankly.
Nice. And that's awesome. Yeah. It is a pretty part of the country. Right on the Utah border.
Before we get into this, I do want to know, what's your plans for your road trip? Where are you guys headed? You said cross country. Where are you from?
We're in Houston.
Okay.
So we loaded up our Land Cruiser, piled in all of our stuff. We came out here. We actually fell in love with this part.
We decided not to take the Ferrari. Right? What?
Exactly. You know, you can't camp out of a Ferrari.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we really love this part of the world. So we rented a house here for a week. And then the following 2 weeks, we're going to be camping, actually, Colorado, Utah, what else? North and South Dakota, maybe Wyoming, that kind of stuff.
Nice.
Well, if you come out to Washington, you can camp in my backyard.
Are you car camping like Brandon does? Like he lays in the back of his Prius and camps out? Is it
a little bit like that? So we have like the complete opposite of the Prius. So our Prius gets 11 miles per gallon and takes premium fuel.
Is that a motorhome did you get? Or is it just a big vehicle?
No, it's our Toyota Land Cruiser that we have a rooftop tent on and a refrigerator and drawers. So we just live out of our car.
That's great.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, its technical term is overlanding. We do it every year.
Nice. Yeah, you need to take some pictures and share them with us because that sounds awesome.
Yeah, we'll put them up on the show notes page.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I'll do that. Yeah.
Cool. Okay, so
are we here to talk about
watch this transition. You guys watch this. Ready? So I want to talk about how you're able to invest in real estate while still being able to travel the country. I mean, that's kind of a cool topic because most people can't do that. They can't just go and pack up and leave for weeks or months. How long are you gone for?
3 weeks.
They can't just leave for 3 weeks.
Well, we gotta go on.
We'll get into that. We'll get into that.
Because Sam's been on the show before. You were on show, what was it, 30? What was it? This is show 137.
He was 33, I think.
You're on show 33. All right. So you guys who are listening, check it out, biggerpockets.com/show33. And it was actually a pretty amazing show. Back then, I seem to recall you were working a full-time job or something. You were doing real estate on the side. I believe things have changed a lot since then. Is that right?
They have changed quite a bit since then. Right. You're exactly
Bring
right.
Bring us up to speed.
Okay. So I think that show was maybe almost 2 years ago now, and we were maybe 9 months into our first full calendar year of doing business, and I think we had done 25, 27 deals or so. Since then, honestly, I don't know the exact count, so maybe 115 houses or so we've done since we started our business.
Wow.
And this year we're on track to do 90 houses this year.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what do you mean by do? What are you doing with them?
Yeah.
So, okay, that's a really good question. So,
thank you.
Our business model is basically to build leads, create leads, and monetize every lead that comes in. Majority of the time.
Go ahead. I was going to ask what on earth that means.
Okay. Well, excellent question, Josh. So what that means to us is generate leads of motivated sellers and then take them to monetize it the best way that we can, whether that's we're going to hold it and rent it out, whether we're going to hold it, renovate it, and sell it, we're going to wholesale it, whether we do a net listing. I mean, it's really – subject to is another one that we do. I mean, we really take the lead and custom tailor a solution for that particular seller. We are a customer service business. People are calling us because they have a problem that they need to solve. And so we do whatever we can, and all of our staff is trained to do everything that they know how to solve their problem the best way possible in a way that's profitable for us and makes the customer happy in the end.
That's awesome. So
that is awesome.
Here's what I love about that, right? So I mean, when people are starting out, don't necessarily listen to what I'm about to say, because when you're first starting out, you have to focus, obviously, and you don't know everything. But I love the fact that, you know, when you talk to motivated sellers, not everybody can be fit inside this one box. Like, you can't just wholesale everything. It doesn't always work. You can't just, you know, some people want to do a lease option. They can't just lease option everything or just flip everything or just rent everything.
Exactly.
And so the fact that you're able to then monetize the majority of your leads or a good number of them, you know, it opens up the possibility for making so much more money and doing so many more deals.
Well, and that was a pretty, you're exactly right. I mean, we spend a lot of money on marketing to generate the kind of leads that we do. And if we're not able to efficiently turn them into profit for us, you know, that's not a good business. If we're just doing one thing, if we're only making one offer, we're missing tons of opportunity. You know, part of growing this business is realizing places like that where you can grow and you can find opportunity and you can gain market share.
Nice. Well, so let's get into this. I mean, previously on the last show, your focus was what? It was wholesaling, right?
No, actually, we were about kind of a similar model, except we really only had two methods then. It was just wholesaling and rehabbing.
Okay.
So now
we've added a few other strategies to the mix.
Wholesaling and rehabbing is still the majority of our business.
Okay.
But we are expanding further. You know, there's more than, I think last time I was on the show, it was me and my dad that ran the business together, and that's it. Since then, we've hired three more people, only two of which came 2 months ago. So we're really making that effort to grow the company, but at the same time, grow efficiently. Yeah. We have competitors that are twice our size by the number of employees. And we focus on building the systems and the processes and putting that stuff in place beforehand. And then we hire someone and they can immediately slot into exactly what their job is. And frankly, once we hire them, they help us improve that process even further.
Nice.
So,
all right. So that sounds like a whole bunch of business mumbo jumbo for the novice, right? So how do you go from somebody who's working with your dad, who's kind of, you know, who's flipping and rehabbing, to scale up your company to have, you know, a total of five of you guys who have all these other various strategies? I mean, you can't just jump in and do that right away, right? Experience allows you to actually do that. Am I correct?
You're absolutely right. So experience, aka screwing it up, will allow you to to, you know, seek out those opportunities and seek out those processes. But, you know, to get down to the core of your question, how do you, I guess, kind of what you're saying, how do you plan for that? How do you kind of shoot for something like that? And I always go back to goals. We're really big on goals. We always have a five-year goal, a one-year goal. Anyone who joins our company, they have to fill out a goal sheet as well. I want to know what their three-year goals are and how best we can help them achieve those goals within the context of our company. So I think everything is going to go back to goals. You know, when we started this company, we didn't want to be just doing 10, 20, 30 deals a year. We wanted to build an empire with the, you know, core competency of helping customers and identifying opportunity in the market. So that's really what we've strived for from the beginning.
I love that. I love that.
That's great.
Yeah, I love it. So can we step in and talk? First of all, I'll say this. The goal thing, I think I've never heard anybody say that about bringing on employees and asking what their five-year goal is. I think that's fantastic. I love that. So Josh, you and I are going to talk about our goals, my goals later.
Clearly, I don't do that. You know.
No, you,
thanks, Josh, Sam. You know
all my goals.
That is the end of the show. It was nice having you on board, man. We really appreciate it. And good for you and your goals, buddy.
All right, so... Yeah, I think it's fantastic. I'm going to actually start doing that as well. But let me talk about the people you have working with you. You already mentioned your dad. And on the last episode we talked to you, number 33, we talked a little bit about working with family and how that all works.
Right.
So we won't talk a lot about that now. But the other three people, exactly, what do they do? I mean, in your company, like what do they do?
Okay, good question. So Matt, who's actually, we went to high school together. We weren't really great friends back then, but we actually connected through Bigger Pockets. Yeah. He reached out to me. He was like, hey, you may not remember me, but we went to high school together. I see you're doing some real estate stuff. And so we wound up wholesaling some deals together. I guess that was 2012 or so, 2013. And we realized we worked pretty well together. There was a good mix between the three of us that were in the business. And so Matt joined us full-time February of last year. His job is being the acquisition manager. So, well, previously, I'll say this. So back up until a couple months ago, he was just buying. He was the acquisition manager. He bought the houses, you know, managed all the metrics, things like that. Now we've brought in a new buyer who's a rock star. And now his primary job is to go buy. Since Matt is buying less houses, he's taken more of a managerial role. So, and that I think is going to allow us to grow because he can, instead of just being out there buying houses all the time, you can focus on the processes and improving those to help us grow even more. And I just mentioned Dan, he's our buyer. He's been with us for a couple months. I don't know. I think this is his first full month out buying. I think he's probably bought four or five houses for us this month. I mean, he's doing very well. And then we've got Clarissa and her job. She's kind of the office manager. She keeps all of us in check, make sure, because lots of times we're running around all of us with our hair on fire. And she's kind of the glue that keeps all that stuff together because it is like herding cats. I mean, nice. When we were interviewing people for this, we were telling them, like, look, we're not going to be an easy company to work with. Some days you might be working late, but, you know, it's going to be fun every single day. We're going to try to take care of all of our employees and really make sure we're all getting everything out of this that we really want to. Nice. But yeah, so that's our team right now.
So how, you know, I get the office manager, I get the person who's managing kind of the whole flow, the buyer. How does that work? I mean, do you guys just kind of set up your criteria and say, get out there and buy as much as you can within these parameters and that's it?
No, that's not how it goes. So it's kind of a...
Well, man, I feel like completely wrong. And yeah.
Thanks for playing, Josh. I appreciate it. Well, yeah.
Thanks, Sam. You're a great guy.
Hey, no problem. Glad to be here. Anyway, so, you know, we as the company, one of my roles in the company is to do the marketing. So the marketing generates the leads. The call goes to either Matt or Dan, and then they're trained on how to basically get as much information as we can out of the seller in hopes that we can solve their problem. So like I said before, everything goes back to customer service. How are we going to solve this person's problem? And I hope we can do it by buying their house, right?
Yep.
So everything goes back to that kind of that customer service mentality. So the lead comes in, we take the lead, and then we basically ask them a few questions, talk on the phone, have a conversation with them, figure out their pain points. And from there, it really becomes just following the lead, I guess. Once we get the lead, it comes in, it goes into our CRM system, it gets assigned to different tasks, get assigned to different people depending on where we are in the process. And then the appointment's set. And we go out there, we talk to them, see if we can buy the house, put it under contract if we can. And then really it's all downhill from there.
Yeah.
You mean uphill?
No, downhill. No. It's easier.
Typically downhill. Not always. We've all got horror stories, right? After we go under contract with something. But
Yeah, I actually might side with Josh on that one.
Thank you.
It does feel a little like
until the
contract's all right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, actually to go back to that point a little bit, if we're asking the right questions and we're feeling the seller out appropriately, we try to get as much of those speed bumps out of the way ahead of time.
Sure.
So that we are nice and smooth through the, you know, closing process and everything else.
Yeah.
I mean, we have issues on houses sometimes. I'm not going to make it seem like we're perfect, but that's right. The name of the game. I mean, we are problem solvers. We're right. Going after properties that sometimes have difficult title issues. That's the name of our game. We got to figure out how to do that, how to do it effectively, and keep customers and end buyers and everyone happy.
Right on. Yeah. All right. So what are you doing different? I mean, you know, surely there's other folks in your market or the markets that you're looking at who have their own strategies. What makes you guys stand out? Why do you get to close on those deals when potentially other investors are coming in, prospecting the same leads and not closing? What do you guys do that makes you special?
That's a really good question.
Thank you. I came up with it all by myself.
Did you really?
No, actually, Brandon was writing it down, and you know, I decided to steal that one. See, yeah,
I feed Josh everything.
Yeah.
Just answer the question.
So, to answer your question, what makes us so different? You know, I think it really is the customer-focused mentality and how process-focused we are. I mean, you know, everyone else is out there to make that deal. When we pick up the phone and we talk to our sellers, everyone's trained to not make the deal, figure out why the seller has called us versus calling a realtor versus, you know, typical selling methods. So I think if I had to narrow it down, I would say that it's how professional we are, how we present ourselves to sellers, the way we present ourselves on the internet, the way that we present ourselves to anyone who comes in contact with our business. Is far and above, we strive for greatness far and above who our competitors are. We have a lot of really good competitors in Houston. We have a lot of not as good competitors in Houston, but we always strive to be the best at what we need to be when we're in front of the customer. Sometimes they need a shoulder to cry on. Sometimes they just need to get this thing gone next week. Whatever it is a seller needs, we're there to solve their problem. And we want to make sure that they always know that when we're sitting down in front of them.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. So, you know, being there, making sure that they understand, you know, this while your business is there to make deals, that's not your core, right? So, but you talk about the process, right?
Right.
What does that mean to me? If I want to build a process-based business like you've got, you know, you talk about the customer service component. Okay, I get that. I can go out and I can give somebody a shoulder to cry on, although mine's a little bony, you know, not going to be super comfortable. But, you know, what processes do I want to kind of put together to help systematize what I'm doing here? You know, can you dig in a little deeper on that, or is that the secret sauce that you're unwilling to? And I'm going to still ask about it anyway, but, you know.
You can ask all you want. I'll give you guys a little bit of a taste here, okay? So when we were thinking about bringing someone on board to be a buyer. And what we had to do is we had to create a process for pulling comps. And I'm sure both of you are aware what it's like to pull comps. I mean, it's a little bit of an art form, right?
Sure. Sure.
It's not like exactly, you know, you can't just pull the comps, do your CMA, take your median price of the 10 houses you picked, and that's going to be your ARV, right? I mean, it's very dependent on the level of finishes, the part of town you are, things like that. And so what Matt did to get us prepared for that is he created about 2 hours worth of videos on how to pull comps. And then to go with those videos, we have, I don't know, 10, 15 pages of documents to lay out in supporting documents on how to pull comps.
Yeah.
And so when people join our team, I mean, Clarissa, she jumped in and she's pulling comps now and probably took about 2 weeks worth of oversight. But the reality is she was getting on it pretty quick. And I think that has a lot to do with, you know, that process that we built around that. We have written processes for everything in our business, from rehabbing houses to taking seller leads to delivering documents to the title company to, you know, everything, every which way in between. And so that's really, talk about processes, just that's a little bit of a taste of kind of what we're talking about.
Yeah, that's cool. Great.
I love it.
That makes a lot of sense. And I think that's exceptionally helpful.
Yeah, I mean, that's the working in on your business, not in your business type of thing.
Yeah,
yep.
I love that. And the fact that you mentioned video, I think, you know, video is getting easier and easier and easier to create these days to show people how to do things, even if it's like a screen share or if it's just talking in front of your iPhone. I mean, videos are so cool because they stay on the web forever. I mean, you put it into a private YouTube room or whatever if you need to, and then just send, you know, people you need to know the link. And then every time from that point forward, it's done. I mean, for a non-real estate example, this morning, you know, I do webinars every week here on Bigger Pockets, right? And at every webinar replay, we try to post them for our pro members to be able to watch. And so having to edit the replay so it's like smooth and perfect for our pro members, that takes time. And I do it every week and it takes like a good hour of my time every week. This morning, I was like, this is stupid. I don't have like, this is such an easy process. So this morning I wrote up this detailed like 3-page document and a video on exactly how to do it. And I will never have to do it again. Now, Dave, who edits the podcast, will do it.
Boom. And now you get to work on the important stuff.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Not the editing stuff.
Exactly. Now that there's a process in place. And I do that in my real estate, at Bigger Pockets, and everything I do. I'm like, how can I make this a repeatable process? And you said something before the show. I first called you to do a sound check. You know, I just said, so what have you been up to? And you used a phrase I thought was perfect. You said, we're trying to create a franchisable business. I think is the word you used, right?
Right.
Not necessarily that you want a franchise, but you wanted to create a franchisable business. Can you talk about that a minute?
Sure. I mean, that kind of goes back to, you know, if you have a franchisable model, it's something that someone can buy, follow the systems that you have laid out word for word, and make a profit, right? So if we're creating a business that is, quote, franchisable, right, that we're going into it with the mindset that this is easily replicatable, we have so many options available to us. I mean, if we ever want to exit the company or possibly sell the company, which I've never actually heard of, a house flipping business being sold, you know, we have...
Well, it could be.
It could be. It absolutely could be. That's kind of what we want to create. I haven't seen that done. So if we're creating a franchisable model, we have multiple options available to us. We have something where, okay, to some extent, I can go leave for 3 weeks and the business can still operate because we're doing it in that franchisable model. We could be building the franchisable model, and who knows, one day we'll be in 30 cities and we'll still be the owners of it and it'll be incredible. At the same time, it could be something that we could sell, you know, 5, 10, 15 years down the road, because someone will be able to buy the business, buy it based on a multiple of cash flow, and go in and continue doing what we were doing because of the franchisable model that we've built. So it's really one of those things where it could pay off short term and it will pay off long term.
Yeah. What I love about franchisable models, or I mean, even anything, right? McDonald's or, you know, any of the fast food, whatever, what franchise it is, right? The idea is it's scalable because the process has been written out for you. And so when you can take that, I mean, even like the idea of if you've got this process for how it works in one part of Houston, you could fairly easily go and translate that to another. Now, there's obviously going to be some differences you got to work through.
Absolutely.
And you could take that over to, you know, I don't know what's near you, Galveston, take it over to, you know, Austin, take it over, you know, wherever you need to. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Sam shakes his head and Brandon's lack of geographic knowledge of the Texas area.
I don't know. I just,
hey, Galveston's
I'm
close
the voice
to,
in your
that's
head.
That's what I thought. I drove through Galveston.
I just wouldn't go down there.
Okay. Yeah. I drove through Galveston and then I drove through Houston and I forgot you lived there. Otherwise, I would have probably.
Galveston's a nice area. I just
noticed that he drove through your hometown and never and stopped to say hi, Sam.
I forgot you were there.
If I were there, I would have visited.
You forgot about me?
Wow. It's been 2 years, man. It's been 2 years. I haven't gotten your Christmas card in at least like 29 years. I don't know.
Let's bring it back. Let's bring it back. Systems. All right. So you're building this repeatable, scalable business that can work in Galveston, that can work in Austin, that can work pretty much everywhere. That's great. So what does that mean kind of looking forward, right? You've got your acquisition. There's five of you, right? Is your dad still part of the team?
Oh, yeah. He's an integral part of the team still.
Oh, okay. So there's five of you guys. How can we take this team of five and kind of translate it for somebody who's new? You know, what can they do to start their business and do it in a more efficient manner, kind of keeping in mind what you're talking about, which is the scalability and the systems and things like that. And I stole that from Brandon completely.
I figured.
Yeah, you know.
So apparently I don't have a brain plugged in today.
I didn't say it.
I think the best piece of advice I would have is to probably start with the end in mind. Figure out exactly what you want to build. Do you want to build a company that does 100 houses a year? A lot of people, they're going to want to pull their hair out. They want nothing to do with that. And they can build just as profitable business doing 20 houses a year. So I think really if you start with the end in mind, it kind of goes back to setting your goals. What's your five-year goals? In 5 years, do you want to just have 10 rental properties and do two flips a year? You can make a good living doing that. If that's your goal, you may not necessarily have to focus as much on the systems and processes as we do with what our expansion plans are. So I think, as much as I hate to skirt the question like this, I think it's going to go back to setting what your five-year goals are, or setting what your goals are and your milestones to hit, and figuring out what are the systems and processes that you need to hit those goals. Do you want to have a business that does 50 houses a year with you not even in the same country? You're going to have different systems and processes than our company will.
Yeah, sure.
Because while I'm taking a three-week trip here, I cannot do this without the team that we have in place in Houston.
Yeah.
This is more of a sanity trip than, hey, I want to get the heck out, you know, leave my business trip, right?
Sure.
I love my business. When I'm done with this podcast here, I'm going to be jumping on the computer and taking care of business like I need to. Yeah. So yeah, like I said, I think it's going to go back to setting your goals and what it is that you want to accomplish.
Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. All right. So what's next? I mean, you know, and we're going to rewind for those people who are listening. We're going to talk a little bit more about the deals that you guys do, but you know, I think we thought it was important to kind of dig in a little bit on the business itself.
Absolutely.
Who are the next hires? Who are you looking at potentially bringing on next? Who do you need to scale it even better?
Right. Well, I think we're going to wind up probably hiring, you know, this could go a few different ways. It might be if we continue buying at the rate that we are currently, we might need a new buyer. At the same time, if we keep buying at the rate that we're buying, we're going to need a project manager. Right now, Robert, my dad, his primary job is managing our projects and our business. And, you know, he has a lot of business experience. He has a lot of know-how that needs to be put to work. And if he's out managing contractors, it makes it that much more difficult, right? So that's where us putting the systems and process in place and how to manage rehabs and do it the way that Robert does it is going to pay off tenfold when we finally hire that project manager.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be able to jump right into the business, hit the ground running, and then, you know, Robert's time is going to be freed up to work on other stuff.
Awesome.
So yeah, I think maybe a buyer or a project manager.
Right on. Cool. That's great. And cool. Do you want to scale? I mean, you guys did what, like 100 deals in the past year or so. Do you want to do 150? You want to do 500? I mean, what are you happy at that pace? What's kind of your thought on that?
Well, so I think to clarify, we've done 115 deals in the last 3 years.
3 years. Okay, sorry.
Right. We've done 45 or 50 or so far this year. We're going to finish the year at 90. We're well on track to do 90 houses this year. So I think next year I'd like to see the same kind of exponential growth that we've been experiencing. You know, this year I think our business has frankly tripled. Our revenue's tripled every single year that we've been in business. I'd like to continue that, but I know that's not going to always be possible.
Sure.
I think for our expansion, you know, being in the real estate business, I want to make sure that we're making decisions, we're making expansion plans and growth plans based on how what we're seeing in our market. You know, are we going to have to go to another market to be able to continue to expand the way that we have? Is that something that's going to be right for us? It's going to be right for our employees? It's going to be right for our investors? You know, I don't know.
Very, very cool. Well, before we get on, I wanted to make one more point about the whole franchisable, the systems, the processes, before we get onto the specifics. And that is, you know, we talked about, you know, a lot of the benefits to having that system, being able to sell it possibly, or, you know, be able to franchise bigger. Another idea, though, and something that you're experiencing right now, is that ability to replace, you know, part of your business. This comes from the E-Myth, you know, Michael Gerber's book, The E-Myth. But if your business is a machine, right, that has all these cogs that are working, you can replace pieces of them, including yourself. And so you can, right, at some point, you could pull out yourself from that cog and put another person in its place, and the business wouldn't necessarily go down, you know, in flames. And so, like, the fact that you're on a 3-week trip, you're, right, I mean, even though you're still working, you're not there in person, but you're able to kind of travel. And that might be the greatest benefit, I think, to that whole model of having systems and things in place. And, you know, that's kind of what enables me nowadays. You know, I worked super hard the first, 7 years to build up a system for my business so that I could step back. And that's why I spend so much time at BP now. And that's why I work here, because I love this. I like the real estate. I like doing it. And I still do it, but I love Bigger Pockets. And so, like, because I have that business, I can do what I love to do and still have the real estate working and generating passive income for the rest of my life. So just one more benefit.
Are you just saying that because Josh is on the phone?
Yeah, Josh, pause it for a minute, and Josh, and then I'll tell you the real truth, Sam.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. No, there's no love for me today, man.
No, like, I'm not saying I love Josh, but, you know, Bigger Pockets, though, man. I mean, like, I learned real estate through Bigger Pockets. I mean, I started I found it when I was 21 years old, and, like, yeah, I mean, what, 8 and 9 years ago.
How old
now.
Are you now?
30. Yeah, so I've been on since you started, pretty much. I mean, wow. Like, I think there was like 10,000 people on the site when I joined or something. Wow. But yeah. Whatever.
Remember when you had to pay to get a lead's phone number? It was like the dark ages. Until Deal Machine made skip tracing a thing of the past. Now, with your Deal Machine plan, you'll get unlimited access to phone numbers and contact information for no extra cost. That's right, get high quality, reliable information trusted by leading financial institutions, all fully compliant with the federal Do Not Call list. Explore over 150 data points, including age, gender, marital status, occupation, and a ton more. Trust me, this is the data you need for off-market deals. With new filters, people flags, and color-coded phone numbers, lead management just got a ton easier. Ready to step up your investing game? Sign up for a Deal Machine plan today and gain immediate access to this unlimited treasure trove of contact information and phone numbers. Just head to dealmachine.com/BP. Transform your lead generation and deal-making strategies with Deal Machine. Sign up today and start exploring the unlimited possibilities at dealmachine.com/BP.
Want to dive deep into commercial real estate, entrepreneurship, leadership, and the economy? Tune into the Walker Webcast, hosted by the CEO of Walker & Dunlop, one of the largest commercial real estate finance and advisory services firms in the nation. As an unparalleled leader in commercial real estate, CEO Willie Walker frequently appears as an expert on major platforms like CNBC and the New York Times. He's even been on the Bigger Pockets podcast network, too. On the Walker Webcast, you'll hear from guests like A-Rod, renowned economist Dr. Peter Linneman, and experts from Walker & Dunlop's capital markets, research, and investment sales groups. So fire up the Walker Webcast on your favorite podcast app or join live on Wednesdays to see Willie interact with his guests. Plus, you can always catch the replay on demand afterward. Stay ahead of the curve with insights for life from the Walker Webcast. Learn more and subscribe to the Walker Webcast at walkerdunlop.com/pockets. And be sure to follow Walker & Dunlop on all your favorite social media channels too. That's walkerdunlop.com/pockets. Listen up, business owners, because I've got some quick little math for you. Fewer costs equal more profit. The problem? You're spending more than ever on operations, materials, deliveries, software, and more. So why not reduce your costs and headaches with NetSuite by Oracle? NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. Oh, also, NetSuite lives in the cloud, which means you can reduce IT costs with no hardware required. Cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because now you've got one unified business management suite. You can improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. It makes sense that over 37,000 companies have already made the move to NetSuite. So don't let rising costs sink your business growth. And by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/biggerpockets. netsuite.com/biggerpockets. netsuite.com/biggerpockets.
Top real estate investors love to talk about how they save so much on taxes. But how are they able to build rental property empires while skirting Uncle Sam? 1031 exchanges. 1031 exchanges allow you to defer capital gains taxes while you sell an investment property, exchanging your old property for a bigger, better one and avoiding the tax man while you do it. And that's where First American Exchange Company comes in. They're the leaders in 1031 exchanges. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting, First American Exchange can help you with simple rental property exchanges, complex commercial real estate investments, reverse exchanges, and more. Don't let your taxes eat into your profits. Visit First American Exchange Company at firstexchange.com or call them at 800-556-2520. That's firstexchange.com or 800-556-2520. Keep your money in your pocket and propel your portfolio further at firstexchange.com. First American Exchange Company does not provide tax or legal advice. Consult your financial, real estate, tax, or legal advisor about your circumstances. First American Exchange Company. Safe, smart, secure.
All right. So anyway, that's just a cool thing. So let's move on and shift gears from the systems. Like how I said that, shift gears from the systems. Pretty good, right?
Nice job.
Thanks. And we're going to shift gears and talk about the specifics of what you're doing right now that's making you so successful. So why don't we start with deals? Where are you finding them? How are you getting them? You mentioned marketing. What does that mean?
Okay. So our marketing engine is coming in from all different directions. One of the things that we experienced when we were starting this business is volatility in our monthly deal flow. And I think it's something that anyone, especially if you're just starting out, you're going to experience that volatility. You know, you're going to be, okay, I'm ready. I'm spending my $500,000, $200 a month, whatever it is on marketing. And you're 2 months in, you're like, what the heck is going on? Why isn't this working, right?
Yeah.
So that volatility we experienced, you know, for a long time. And we realized it had a lot to do with the fact that we were only marketing through one channel. So we decided a long time ago that we were going to slowly start to diversify our marketing. And what that looked like is we would do absentee mailers with postcards, yellow letters. We would do probate mailers with different types of media. We would also spend, high equity mailers. And at the same time, so we slowly started to build up that. Our direct mail, and we diversify within our direct mail. Next step was going to be diversifying in our website presence. So SEO, AdWords, that type of stuff. So we're still doing absentee mailers. We're still doing our website, which is doing great for us currently. We also are actually buying houses on the MLS, surprisingly enough. And we started doing what we called our community marketing program, where we don't do bandit signs anymore. But what we will do is we will approach homeowners, business owners, things like that, and ask them to put up a sign in their yard. And this is typically a more professional sign with a vanity number. And we're trying to work bandit signs a little bit more legitimately, I guess is the best way to put it. That's and good. Not something where we're having to put out signs every week, manage a sign putter outer, go out, you know, buy signs every week, just things like that. We're trying to, going back to the franchisable model, we're trying to do bandit signs in a more franchisable way.
You're trying to do it in a credible and legal way is what you're trying to say. Okay.
Yeah. I'm not outspoken against bandit signs.
I don't have a vendetta against anything. I just think people should run a business legitimately. And I think bandit signs, you know, that violates city codes and are, you know, shouldn't be used. So I like what you're saying, and I want to hear more about it. So this community marketing program, how does that work? I love that, by the way. I really, really love that. So do you just go up to businesses and offer money, or how do you kind of make that happen?
It's the same with anything else. You know, we offer to lease sign space from them. And if they're on a street that we like in an area we want to target, we say, we'll pay you X number of dollars per month to put up this sign at this location. And they don't have to pay for the sign. They don't have to pay for anything else. And it's very straightforward. As far as whether or not it works, honest to God, I don't know. We just one of the joys of you know, growing a business is trying stuff and seeing if it works. I mean, it might all go to hell. I have no idea, but we're definitely going to try it. We have purchased one sign from it so far. We've purchased one house from it so far.
So it works. There you go.
It's working.
Just got your answer. There you have it. You just learned live on the Bigger Pockets podcast that you are, in fact, successful. Congratulations.
Yeah. I like the idea a lot. I read a book recently called 80-20 Sales and Marketing. I've mentioned it a few times on the podcast. But in there, he talks about like that, you know, 80% of the cars in the world drive on 20% of the roads out there. And then of those 20%, 80% of those cars drive on 20% of those roads. So it works out to like 50 or 60% of every car drives on like 4% of all roads. And so what he translated that to is, in terms of marketing, is that you could go put out 10,000 signs randomly, or you could put out one sign on a strategic spot and get just as many people as all those other signs. And that's why the big companies, you don't see Coca-Cola putting out bandit signs, right? Like they understand that you know, there's a scalable model there like you're talking about. And when you can hit people where it matters, in the locations you matter, that a lot of people will see it. Yeah, I think it's great. So good job.
Brilliant. Yeah. Hey, can I jump in really quick? Because I know you're going to go somewhere else and I want to take it back to one more thing that Sam had said. By the way, this is the Bigger Pockets podcast, and we are on show 137. You can check out the show notes at biggerpockets.com/show137. Connect with Sam and ask him questions, find resources and things that we've talked about in there. But all right, Sam, so you talked about high equity mailers. I don't think we've talked about that in 136 shows, so I'd like you to talk about that. I mean, it pretty much is what it sounds like, but for those people who don't know, what does that mean?
So high equity means that the person has a lot of equity in the house. The debt to the house versus the value of the house is very low. But the reality is I don't do that anymore. We don't do high equity mailers anymore.
Okay.
They're too much of a low hanging fruit to people in our area. There's too much competition, and we were no longer getting the ROI out of it that we demand of our marketing.
Okay.
Oh, fair enough.
So let me just ask for people who don't have a lot of competition with that and they maybe want to do that. How do they even get that list? And where does that come from?
It's really easy. You can either get it through your local appraisal district or through list providers, yellow letters, list source, things like that. And you basically just want to pull a list. Typically, if they're over 60 or so, you'll find some better motivation. So you want to put an age limitation on it, maybe an age of the house, maybe how long they've owned it. But definitely you want to make sure that they have a lot of equity in there. And that's where going to someone like a list source or yellowletters.com will allow you to choose the right list, try to find the best motivated people.
Very cool. Very cool.
Interesting. Awesome.
All right. You get all this stuff goes out. The mailers go out. The signs are out. Everything goes out. And you start getting phone calls. You already said your two guys will get those phone calls. They take them. And now they go and they probably set up an appointment with the person, correct?
Right.
All right. So they go set up the appointment. They talk to them. They kind of find out where they fit, you know, what they could possibly do. Then what happens next? I mean, you sign the contract with them. Let's just say, for example, you guys decided you're going to flip the house. You're going to rehab the house. How do you finance that deal? I mean, how are you financing those kind of deals, the ones that you're actually buying, not the wholesaling ones, but the ones you're buying to flip or, you know, do whatever else with?
Okay. So we finance through private lenders and banks.
Okay. And what does that mean? What is a private lender?
Okay. Yeah. Private lender is an individual who has some money they want to put to work in real estate, but don't necessarily want to get their hands dirty flipping the house. So they'll come to someone like us who's built the systems and processes and everything to keep their money as safe as possible and could put as much of it to work as quickly as possible. And we borrow the money at a set interest rate and a set loan to value. And get them in relatively safe compared to the market. You know, we don't go over 70 to 75% of the ARV. We put them on the insurance as a loss payee on the property. And then, of course, you know, walk them through the process every step of the way. Our lenders that have been with us for a while, you know, they're worth gold to us. Just as a for instance, a lender that's been with us for a while. I was out of town a few weeks ago. We got a lead on a property that came back to us. We had to close it in 3 days. So I had to raise $300,000 in 3 days.
Whoa.
I was out of town. Our lender was out of town. There was so much trust in the relationship and the millions of dollars that I borrowed from these people that we were able to get the job done, get it done right, make sure everyone was safe. And that's really what it comes down to, processes. I mean, we're agreeing to buy a house. I'm out of town. You know, I haven't seen the house in 2 weeks. But we just, everyone has to fall back on the processes and the systems that they know and just follow it to a T.
I love that.
Right?
Yeah. Makes sense.
So, but going back to your question, that was a little aside. We borrow money from private lenders and we borrow money from banks. Currently, we have, I think, $2.5 million in bank financing. And we got very fortunate. We got our first bank line of credit of $500,000. We were only 18 months old. And really, that comes down to having a good balance sheet. So a lot of people that get into this business, you know, they don't like to show a profit for all the right reasons. They don't like to show a profit on their balance sheet. We recognized pretty early that we were going to have to pay a lot of money in taxes if we're going to be able to go after the cheap bank financing.
Yep.
So, I mean, our bank financing is anywhere between 5 and 6%. That's pretty tough to beat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really tough to beat. So in order to do that, that's where building that sustainable business comes from. Having a good balance sheet, having good processes. Even with bankers, man, you go to the good local regional banks. You can't go to the big banks, Chase Bank, Wells Fargo Bank. They're not going to want to talk to you if you're wanting to borrow $1 million from them. That's, you know, nothing to them. But you go to your little bank, you start building that relationship, you show them the processes that you have, you show them your past projects, you show them the before and after pictures, give them the whole dog and pony show, and they'll want to listen to you. They'll want to bring you into the office. They'll want to be able to lend money to you. And as you build that relationship more and more, they're going to want to give you more and more money. So I'd encourage anyone who's getting out and starting their business, they got a few deals under their belt, go out and start talking to banks, see what they can get.
I love that. You know, to add on to that point, you know, you mentioned about you're going to have to pay taxes. I know a lot of investors there. I mean, there's a lot of things that we can write off and you can be,
right,
you know, very aggressive in your tax planning strategies, right, but like that oftentimes will shoot people in the foot by being, right, too aggressive. I mean, there's a point 2 years ago, I decided I need to get a refinance on my apartment complex. I'm going to have a problem if I'm really aggressive. And so like I scaled back and I was not aggressive at all. Like IRS loves me because I'm paying all these taxes. But this year when I went to get my refinance, like I had really good numbers to show them that were, you know, that, right, they liked. And so I just, yeah, there's definitely ways that you can, yeah, be more conservative or more aggressive with your tax planning. So that's just a tip for people. I mean, even just starting out, I mean, you could translate that to somebody who's brand new. People ask all the time, like, I've got bad credit. Can I get started investing in real estate? You know, yes, you can invest in real estate without good credit. But look down the road 2 years, 3 years from, right, now. Eventually, you're going to want that cheap bank financing. So, you know, start getting that in shape right now, whether or not, you know, it doesn't mean you have to sit out on the sidelines, but at least start working that way, kind of looking towards the future.
And talk to a CPA. I mean, that's going to be your best bet is, you know, what's the approach? I'm not going to tell it to you. Brandon's not going to tell it to you. And Sam's not going to, you know, we don't know. And what works for one of us is not necessarily going to be what works for you. So, having that core team member of a CPA is going to be huge.
Yeah. Yeah. Love it.
Awesome.
Well, cool. I think it's time probably to shift gears once again.
Oh,
and
look at that.
Transition over to the world famous.
I want to rewind really quickly. I
was giving Josh that look the whole time, like, do you have any other questions?
I do.
I thought you were going to jump with it.
So, you know, I'm gonna take it from here, Brandon.
All right,
take it
from here.
Thanks for the help.
Thanks, host.
Sam.
Yes.
In the past couple of years since you've last been on the show, tell us, you know, the coolest deal that you've done. What's been your absolute favorite deal that you've done?
That's a good question, Josh.
We should probably ask everybody that question.
You really put me on the spot with this one. I'm going to have to suck it up, man.
Come on. I know it's hard when you have a Rolodex of millions and millions of deals, but, you know, come on. Surely there's one that...
So you want to hear like our...
I don't care.
Profit deal? Do you want to hear one where, like, we solved someed someone's problem?
Absolutely. All the above.
Okay. Oh, man. See, I wish you'd guys give me these questions ahead of time and I'd be able to prepare something.
I know you're having a hard time. You're on vacation coming up with you know, fabulous deals. So what about awful? Like, you know, what was the worst experience you've had in the past couple of years as an investor?
Okay.
Surely you remember
that. And this
is
a good one. Yeah, this is a good one because it was all my fault and it was because I didn't follow our process. So we had a deal where we had the trifecta go wrong, okay? We bought this house and I walked the house. I negotiated the purchase of the house. Everything was great. I recall it a particularly good day because I think I bought three houses and a car that day.
Wow.
But this particular house was in fairly good shape. People, they smoked in the house. It wasn't that big of a deal. But we close on the house and then we find that we have like a huge amount of foundation issue that I apparently glossed right over and missed because I wasn't following the process.
Yep.
Then, so we fix the foundation. Then we get our roofer to go out there and just check the roof, which is standard procedure for us because we want to make sure that if it passes a roofer's inspection that we trust, that it'll pass the seller's inspection. It failed. So we had to do a foundation. We had to do the roof. So we did the foundation. We did the roof. And then when they leveled the house, part of the fireplace started to fall away from the wall.
Uh-oh.
So I was like, okay, not a big deal. Really, that's $500, $700, whatever it was, to pull the brick down and re-brick it back up. Well, we pull the brick down, and the whole wall's just chewed up with termites.
Oh, man. Oh, man. I thought we were going to find a dead body in there.
No, no. So the whole wall's chewed up with termites. So we have to treat the house for termites and replace all the bad wood. So at this point, the deal's not looking that great. I mean, it was probably a $35,000 profit deal for us, which is slightly below our average. And so, yeah, we do the termite treatment, we do the roof treatment and foundation. At the end of the day, though, because I followed the rest of the process and bought it at a low enough price, instead of losing money on that deal, we made $8,000. Okay. Yeah. Now, if you look at making $8,000 over the course of 3 or 4 months, however long it took for us to do that deal, we lost money if you include our time. But at the end of the day, our private lender was made whole. Our private lender was never in a bad spot. We didn't lose money on the deal. But because I didn't follow the process that we all agreed on and wrote for walking a property, you know, we wound up losing $25,000 of potential income from it. So, yeah, wow. There's a horror story for you.
That's a good story.
Right. Really nice family. I was really happy to help the family, but
yeah. There you go. All right. All right. Fair enough. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. Well, thanks for sharing. And if the other thing comes to mind, you know, obviously feel free to, you know, come on back. But I think this is a good time to transition, Brandon.
I think this is a good time.
To the world famous.
World famous. Fire round.
Fire round. It's time for the fire round.
All right. Fire around these questions from the Bigger Pockets forums, which our listeners can get to at biggerpockets.com/forums. So if you have a question that you want somebody to answer here on the Bigger Pockets podcast, make sure you leave your question there in the forums. So, Sam, number one, what type of property is best to fix and flip, multi-units or single family?
I would say that goes back to your goals, honestly.
Okay.
Because I think it really depends on where you are in the market, where you are personally. I mean, you can make really good money flipping multifamily, but you can also make really good money flipping single family. Yeah, I would go back to, it depends on what you want to do and what you want to accomplish. But at the same time, go back to what numbers work. If you're trying to evaluate doing one versus the other, go back to the numbers and see what the numbers tell you. What do the comparables tell you? What's the cap rate telling you on the multifamily?
Sure.
How much work do they both need? So yeah, I think that's, you're going to need some pretty in-depth analysis on that one.
Okay.
Well, I like that.
Fair enough. All right. What's worse for a tenant applicant, having an eviction or a felony?
Jeez. I'm going to go with neither one's renting from me.
Okay.
There you go. There you go.
By the way, do you have a rental property as well now?
We do. Yeah, we've got rental properties.
Okay.
Yeah. Excellent. So you're not renting out to convicts or
nope.
Folks
nope,
who
nope.
skip. All right.
Nope.
All right. Fair enough. Easy breezy.
Next one. How do you find cash buyers? If I'm a wholesaler, how do I get cash buyers in a small town? I know you're not in a small town. Houston's, you know, Houston's a medium-sized town, village, really.
But. A little bit.
6-7 million people. Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But in a small town, how do you find cash buyers?
So I think a good place to start would be your multiple listing service and see who has completed cash purchases in your area. And I imagine if you go back over the course of a year, you might see a few people repeated. So yeah, get on your local MLS. It'd be a good place to start.
Okay.
Also, network at the local diner, church, anyone.
Cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's great.
I think that's – and now how does somebody
– That is good advice, by the way.
Yeah, how does somebody get the MLS if they're not an agent?
Talk to someone who is.
There you go.
Beg, borrow, do whatever you need to. Steal. Access to the MLS, I think, is critical in this business.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. All right. Is it smart to invest in a red-hot market? Last question.
Well, I would say yes, but you have to be smart, because I'd say we're in a red-hot market in Houston right now. It is more and more difficult – it's becoming more and more difficult for us to buy houses because – it's easier for someone to sell it on the open market. And at the same time, you know, everyone and their brother thinks they want to be a real estate investor, and they're kind of flooding with the area is flooded with marketing. So I would say, yes, it is okay to invest in a red hot real estate market, but you're going to want to make decisions based on the fact that you don't want to be in the house for very long. So if the market's really hot, or if it's looking kind of frothy, or at the same time, you know, you want to look at other market indicators. Like in Houston, our housing demand is still high. We still have a lot of people moving in. Even though oil has taken a bit of a hiccup, I guess if you could call it that lightly.
Oh, just a little one. Yeah. What's that, 50% from its high? Yeah.
Right. You know, we're still net adding jobs in all of Texas. We're still net adding jobs in Houston. We're seeing in Houston, like, it's taken its toll on prices on houses worth less than 150 and worth more than 500. So if you're in a red hot market, you know, look at those economic indicators and say, okay, maybe I should stick between 150 and 500, or less than 500, I should say. So, yeah.
Cool. I like it.
Right on. Excellent.
All right. Let's transition over to the last section of the show, which we call the
Famous Four.
These are the questions we ask everyone, and we have asked you these 2 years ago. And actually, I looked here on the calendar for when this show is coming out. We're recording this a little bit early. This show is going to come out on the 2 year anniversary of your last show coming out.
Ooh,
no kidding.
Yeah, we did not plan that at all, but it's exactly 2 years later.
Nice. Yeah,
weird. All right. Awesome. So 2 years ago, maybe things have changed. So number one, what is your favorite real estate related book?
Real estate related book. I don't remember what I said last time. Probably Gary Keller's book.
Okay. The Millionaire Real Estate Investor.
The Millionaire Real Estate Investor. Yeah.
Yeah.
As far as real estate goes, honestly, I don't think I've read in a real estate book since the last show.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah.
Just tune into the podcast. What do you need books for, right?
That's right. Tune into the podcast. Get on, of course, Bigger Pockets forums.
There you go. Look at that.
By the way, don't forget Jay Papasan as co-author of said book.
Yeah, that's okay. True. Yeah.
Yes. He was also a guest on the podcast. So, you know, we got to plug Jay there.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
All right. So you haven't read any real estate books.
Right.
I'm not going to ask that next question. Well,
you can
should we just end the interview
question.
Now? I mean,
no, ask the next question because I read business books up and down.
All right. Mm-hmm. Fine. If you make me fine. All right.
Are you going to ask the question or you want me to just go?
Business book. What is your favorite business book? What are you reading these days?
I'm actually 3/4 of the way through a book right now, which I've fallen in love with. It's called Good to Great by Jim Collins.
Yep. Classic.
It's really, yeah. It's been an eye-opening book. I'm getting a lot of good information from that. I'm enjoying reading it. And honest to God, I do not typically enjoy reading. My wife will read like a book a day. I'll read, if I'm lucky, a book every quarter. So yeah, that Jim Collins book, Good to Great, can't say enough good stuff about it.
Perfect. Cool. Perfect. Cool. All right. Hobbies. What are you doing for fun these days? Besides, you know, trekking around the country globally, whatever you do, you know, getting in the range.
Yeah, that's seems like most of it
camping.
Yeah. So overlanding whenever we can, camping. And at the same time, also I love cars. I have a huge addiction to cars. A previous life, I was a race car mechanic. So nice. Yeah, I think to give you an idea of how bad it is, my wife and I live in a 1,000-square-foot bungalow in Houston, and we have 6 cars.
Wow.
Oh, man. Okay, so yeah. I'm on Google. And I just searched for overlanding. I've heard the term, but I never knew. And I'm flipping around and I'm looking at these trucks with like tents on the roof. This is outstanding. Yeah. Holy smokes. I see one. The guy's got a solar array parked on the ground in front of his truck. Yeah. Wow. Is that what you guys do?
That's what we do.
That is outstanding.
Self-sustained branding. Vehicle travel.
Dude, you got my wife, the Prius, man.
Yeah, this might be better than a Prius. I don't know.
My wife actually writes for a couple of adventure magazines as well.
Interesting.
I take pictures. She does the writing. Yeah.
Well, send us a picture, and again, we'll put it up on the show notes page at biggerpockets.com/show137.
For sure. Yeah, really cool stuff. Really cool stuff. All right, Brandon.
All right. Let's see. My final question. What do you believe sets apart successful real estate investors from those who give up, fail, or never get started?
Boy, that's a really good question again. Perseverance.
Okay.
I feel like is a big one, because the business, no matter what business you're in, it's going to constantly kick you down. Something's not going to go your way. The marketing's not going to go your way. You're going to lose a deal. You're going to lose money. You're going to, you know, hurt a relationship or something like that. And I'd say it's the perseverance to stand back up and go do it all over again the next day. Every single day can kick your butt in this business. It's a fun business. It's a really rewarding business, but it's also a very hard business to do the kind of volume that we want to do and build the kind of business that we have.
Yeah.
So I would say that every single day the business just kicks you down, chews you up, spits you out. The perseverance to wake up the next day and jump right back into the fire.
Right on. That's great, man.
Great.
All right, Sam. Well, listen, thanks so much for coming back on the show. Where can people find out more about you?
Sure. Okay. So our website is SenaHouseBuyers.com. And that's S-E, N as in Nancy, N as in Nancy, A, HouseBuyers.com. That's the best way to get a hold of me. If you want to follow around with our travel stuff on Instagram, I'm at The Real Sam Craven. And that is a joke, by the way. I'm not that egotistical. And so if anyone wants to reach out to me, the best way is to go to the website and fill out a form on our website, and that goes direct to my email. Be happy to talk to anyone about anything.
Nice. By the way, I'm on your website right now, Senna Homes, and I'm looking at you and your dad. Your dad looks like a nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like
he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
Don't judge him.
I like his mustache.
Were you expecting like a devil or
something? No, I'm just saying he looks like your typical, like really like nice, like TV dad. I don't know. Nice looking guy.
Can he be my dad? Yeah.
He kind of actually looks like my dad. They have like the same mustache. Anyway. All right. Let's get out of here.
Sam, right. thanks for coming on, man. It's been fun.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. This is always good. Brandon, next time you're driving through Houston, don't forget about me, man.
I won't forget about you next time. So I'll be looking for your Christmas car this year, too.
Yeah.
Touche. Right.
We'll see
Sam,
you around.
Get out of here. Goodbye. Take it easy.
Right.
It's been fun.
See you guys.
Bye.
Enjoy your trip.
Bye.
All right, guys, that was Sam Craven. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the show. Lots of fun. Lots of great information. Really, really good information. Cool show.
Cool it was
show.
A cool show.
He was
show,
a fun
yeah.
guy.
I do like Sam a lot. Yeah, I remember that from last time. He's a riot. So that's good to have him.
Yeah, it was great. So definitely, check out the show notes, guys, if you want to sync up with Sam. And you can do that at biggerpockets.com/show137. That's biggerpockets.com/show137. You can find Sam on Bigger Pockets at biggerpockets.com/users/SamC. And otherwise, if you are listening to this on iTunes and you're only seeing the last 20 shows on iTunes, you can go to biggerpockets.com/podcast and find all of our old shows as well. You can also listen on Stitcher or Libsyn or SoundCloud. There's all sorts of different ways to check out the show. So definitely do that. And please, guys, subscribe to the show on iTunes, subscribe on the various other mediums, and do leave us some feedback and some star ratings. Those definitely help us get the word out about the show. So we really appreciate it. Otherwise, that's it. Lots going on in Bigger Pockets. We're trying to make lots of cool new features and additions to improve your lives. And if you've got suggestions ever, please don't hesitate to reach out to us by email at biggerpockets.com/contact and let us know what you think. Let us know if there's anything that you'd like us to add on to make the site better for you. And otherwise, that's all I got. Follow us on Facebook. Jump in on our forums, biggerpockets.com/forums. And I don't know. That's it, man.
Cool. That's good. Let's get out of here.
Let's do it.
Don't need to sign off? I can do it.
All right.
Follow us on all the social media channels and let's get out of here. For Bigger Pockets, this is Brandon and Josh signing off.
Signing off.
You're listening to Bigger Pockets Radio, simplifying real estate for investors large and small. If you're here looking to learn about real estate investing without all the hype, you're in the right place. Be sure to join the millions of others who have benefited from BiggerPockets.com, your home for real estate investing online.
Which we call the
famous
four. The sound effects go there.
I hope they do.
Yeah. Otherwise, what if Dave didn't put them in every week? That'd be really funny. He just purposely left them in just to mock us, and we never knew. All right.
What do you mean you don't listen all the way through, Brent?
What are you talking about? What? Of course I do.
The market is changing, and finding your way can be tricky. Rates shift, headlines whirl, but your goal hasn't changed. You want financial freedom. And the best investors know it's not about timing the market, it's about time in the market. If you're ready to get into the real estate investing game or take your game to the next level, finding an investor-friendly agent is your next step. With BiggerPockets Agent Finder, you can find the right agent in minutes. Just head to biggerpockets.com/deals and enter a few details about what and where you want to buy, and bam! Instantly match with an investor-friendly agent who fits the bill. These local market experts can help you navigate the neighborhoods, analyze the numbers, and take action with confidence once and for all. This free resource is only available at biggerpockets.com/deals. Get an agent, get the deal, and get closer to financial freedom at biggerpockets.com/deals. That's biggerpockets.com/deals to find your investor-friendly agent today. The content of this podcast is for informational purposes only.
Past performance is not indicative of future results, and all hosts and participant opinions are their own.
Investment in any asset, real estate included, involves risk. Use your best judgment and consult with qualified advisors before investing. Only risk capital you can afford to lose.
BiggerPockets LLC disclaims all liability for direct, indirect, consequential, or other damages arising from reliance upon information presented in this podcast.